And if you want to go where Brian just got done reading in Luke chapter 1, 26 through 38, that's where we're going to camp out this morning. I want to be able to give honor to our mothers today by saying a big happy Mom's Day. And very thankful because I got up this morning and thank God for my mother. And she is in His eternal hands. And she also had given me some great memories. But all of us depend on our mothers so much. And so I just want to say to you, we depend on you greatly, your children do, and we don't say it enough, we don't honor you enough. So I'm thankful that, as Jerry said, we live in a country that will pick out certain days that will give honor to the people that we seem to take advantage of too much on a daily basis. So what I'd like to do right now is, because I know that there's a lot in this room that their mothers has already in God's eternal hands. And also, maybe is that your mother's not here present with you in this auditorium. So I'd like to take a moment and a moment of silence for you to bow your head, bow your heart, and thank God for your moms, especially the ones who have gone on before us. So let's take that moment now. Thank you, God, for Mom. Now I want to honor the ones who are here. So, if you're a mother, or even if your child has been raised, even if you're right now waiting for the birth of your child, if you are here and you are a mother, I want you to stay seated, okay? I want everybody else to stand up. And I want you to go to the mothers that are closest to you, wish them a happy Mother's Day, and we'll thank God here in just a moment. But go around and say happy moms. Give some hugs. Thank you, God, for moms, and we thank in Jesus' name together. Amen. All right. Well, there's no better example, I believe, that I could probably give you to look at on Mother's Day as not a perfect woman, because we, as we know, even Jesus' mother was one who had made mistakes. But there was something about her, and I kept wondering what God was just thinking about when He decided in His plan that He needed to become human and have a son that would become flesh, that He would be the Father too, but connect with us in humanity. but I'm going to have to choose a mom. So I wonder what he went through his whole spirit and his knowledge and his wisdom to start looking for the woman on earth to be the mother of his one and only son. In fact, we could say that if you want to be the best mother that you can be, then study the life of Mary. Use her as a model for you to follow. So my question is why did God find favor two times in the scripture reading of Luke chapter 1? Is that the angel said to Mary, "You're highly favored," or "You are favored with God." And so what made Mary favored with God? What made her the favored one after looking all over the world to find a woman to be the mother of his son? It's divine and humanity coming together and making our Lord Jesus Christ. In the person of Jesus, God was entering the human history with a physical body. And through the person of Jesus, he was going to save the world. To pull this off, God had to choose a woman who would be the one who would give birth. Now, what kind of person did God need to launch this rescue mission of the world because of our sin? Well, he suggests, I believe, in the passage that we just read, and why Dr. Luke wrote it down, that there are some qualities in Mary that caught God's spirit, and that's why he chose her. Now, I'm sure she had probably more than three, but there's three that stand out in this passage. I'm going to share that with you, and I believe that's just something for all of us, that even male or female, if we want to be found in favor with God, to have these development of these qualities in our life. Now, you're going to find that God already created it in mankind, but sin has separated some of these qualities from his image. And really, when you define favored, it means this. This is not meaning that God showed favoritism. He found favor in Mary. There's some things about her life that she demonstrated that brought delight to God. That there was tangible evidence that here is a woman that has found approval from God. And these qualities God delighted in. He really enjoyed them. And that's why he chose Mary. So, number one, this is your fill in the blank on your family news. Number one, I believe, I see, at least I do in that reading, that a quality that Mary had that found favor with God, that brought delight to God, was her receptiveness. She was a receptive woman. Now, let me explain that. Now, some of you might say, well, that's kind of obvious. But like so many things that are obvious, it could be so basic we overlook it. You know, we can't see the forest because of the trees kind of thing. Clearly, Mary was receptive. In verses 28 and 29 of Luke chapter 1, Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Well, then these next few words describes how Mary felt. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. Confused and disturbed on the approach of favored woman. Now, what I find so fascinating about Mary is that she wasn't surprised that God was speaking to her or the angel appeared. It was what he was saying that had her disturbed and confused. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." Now, first of all, why would she be confused or disturbed about that? Well, if you really think about it, who is the one that we should find favor in? It should be humanity finding favor in God, because it's who he is. He's almighty, he's all powerful. "You are favored, God, to my life." I think she was confused when the angel, not that the angel appeared, not that God spoke through him. I thought she was confused and disturbed because she was considered favored. So, the angel says, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." That tells me right now he's still reigning and his kingdom is not ended. Now, the point I want you and I to get is that Mary was open to the word of God. She was receptive of it. Here is this girl, approximately 14 to 16 years old, who is so in tune with God, even in her life up to that point, that she can receive this word from God. And I don't know about you, I saw no signs of hesitation. None. She might have been confused. She might have been disturbed. But she was receptive. This is a great model for all of us, not only just for young mothers or mothers who are still being mothers, no matter how old you are, to be willing to hear and receive the life-giving word of God and to practice it and to be found in favor with God. So how do we become a receptive person? Well, I believe it begins by asking God to make us one. Might be that I need to ask him to break down my heart. Maybe I got too much pride about myself and my life and I need broke down in order to be able to hear what he has to say. Now, I don't know about you, but there's been plenty of times I've read in scriptures and heard God speak in his word, and I was disturbed and confused. Anybody here? You ever been disturbed and confused while you were doing Bible study? Surely you didn't say that. You mean love Jesus more than my mother and my father and my brothers and my sisters? You mean love them more than, to love him more than them? And to the broadness that it almost looks like you hate them because of the distance and the commitment and the love you have for him? Wow. I don't know about you. Sometimes that disturbs you and confuses you. When he says to love your enemies, that disturbs me and confuses me. when he says to love your neighbor as you love yourself, confuses me and disturbs me. But when we hear the word of God, we should have no hesitation on obeying it. It may disturb you and it may confuse you, but just obey. That's why Mary was receptive to what the angel had to say. If you're willing to let God create that grace in your life, then ask him to create in you a receptive heart. The gift of God's Spirit is not something that you and I can make happen. We can't make it happen. Receptiveness is something God's Spirit will create in you, asking for it. Mary is a great example. I believe that's why she has found favor to become the mother of Jesus. Another one, number two, because of her humility. Gabriel explained to her what was going to happen and how she would conceive a child as she was a virgin. That confused her. Wait a minute. It kind of confuses me now. You say I'm going to give birth, but I'm not married. I'm to marry Joseph, but how's that going to happen? This was going to happen at the risk of her reputation and perhaps her life. I don't know how many of you young women could ever go around our world being engaged to somebody, but not married yet. But then you tell other people in your family that this is God's child, not his. I don't know about you, but probably the closest family member you love will probably be disturbed and confused. But that's what Mary faced. You don't have to face that, but that's what she faced. Can you imagine, anybody ever live in a small town? Now, I know a lot of people say Hickory's a small town. Well, it is compared to Charlotte. But there's enough people here to gab. But if you live in a small town, everybody knows everybody, and everybody knows everybody's business, and everybody is sticking their nose in everybody's business, right? Okay? Here we go, Nazareth. Oh, did you hear? Calls herself a God believer. Look after her. She's even disobeying God. No. Town, this is not Joseph's. Oh. It's not Joseph's. So who else are you hanging around with? No. This is God. Oh boy, we better start praying for marriage. I mean, can you see it happening? Can you see her reputation in the eyes of humanity going down instead of going up? See, all that mattered to Mary was not what other people thought of her. All that mattered to Mary is, how is this going to happen? Because I am a virgin. And the angel spoke to her and told her what was going to happen. told her not to be afraid. I believe the quality of humility God finds favor with. God dwells with the humble and the lowly. And that's a promise of Scripture. Psalm 138, verse 6 says, though the Lord is great, now he's the one that's great. He cares for the humble, but he keeps his distance from the proud. If I wrestle with being proud of me or prideful, God will keep his distance. But if I humble myself, he finds favor in that and he cares for me. Isaiah 57 and 15 says this, the high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the holy one, says this, I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with a repentant heart. Isaiah 57. Now what he's saying is that I'm the Most High. And the Most High is not going to dwell with people that think they're the Most High. Where I'm going to dwell and care for is the humbleness. And so he'll look around this world for humble women and men to care for and to revive and to give courage to. That's what he finds favor in. And Mary had that great example for our mothers. And then the third one. Because of her servant heart. God chose Mary because she was a servant in every sense of the word. It's not that she was going to become a servant, she was already being a servant. Wow. Here's her response. So the angel comes, tells her what's going to happen. She doesn't understand the favored part. She doesn't understand the giving birth part because of her being a virgin. I don't understand all this, but I'll receive it, and I am humbled, and I am the Lord's servant. Whatever you call me to do, Lord, I will do. Whatever you chose me to do, I will serve. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. See, I believe Mary was the Lord's servant. Her body was not her own. It wasn't her own to choose. Can you go look for another person? No, I'm a servant in my body. So whatever you said that's going to happen, let it happen. Her reputation was not her own. Her future was not her own. Look what her future turned into be. Well, it was delightful at some cases, I'm sure, in raising Jesus up. Seeing Joseph in the carpentry shop with Jesus. I can imagine that brought joy. I think it probably brought joy for her to cook dinner for them. To be there, to be that mother for Jesus. Jesus needed nurturing. As a child, it said he even went back home and obeyed his parents. When he was 13 years old and they had to go back to find him, they found him talking to the priests. And it really disturbed Mary because saying, like, you've worried me to death, we couldn't find you. Well, don't you know I'm about my father's business? And then Jesus left with him, went back home and was obedient. Can you imagine, though, when it was time to journey toward the cross, what Mary had to go through, knowing
that her son needed to be beat almost to death and hung right there for all the people who mocked him. I don't know about you, but my mother, let me tell you one thing. I got chewed out in one football practice for the Big Reds by my head coach. All head coaches say this. They say, I did that for your own good. But I mean, I got chewed out from the beginning to the end as if the whole fault, and we just won the ball game, the whole fault was mine. My mom was on the sideline. And I remember she said, I had a BB gun. Not a gun, but a BB gun. I think he would have felt it. Can you imagine Mary having to restrain herself when her son was falsely accused? And when he was nailed upon the cross. Mary was the Lord's servant. A slave doesn't lead, a slave responds. A servant doesn't advance herself, she advances her master. It's our readiness to obey God that pleases him. It was Jesus' readiness to serve that led him to the cross. And can you imagine Mary thinking while Jesus hung upon the cross, this is the child that I shared my blood with. Now he's shedding his for me. Can you imagine? Jesus was the perfect qualities, but the baby that she carried had him perfect. And she served with receptiveness.